them try clip we wings, some of we can't fly out. But when we there, yeah, nothing nice like Jamaica, roast breadfruit and banana. Under the tree with a glass of lemonade, jumping at the river when me ready for paid. No boy can buy me out, me no foreign minded, no way compared to Jamaica.
From the sun-kissed shores of beautiful Jamaica to the rest of the world, welcome to The Advocate on OneRadio.link. I am your host, Andrew D. White, and the numbers to call are 343-4913 if you're in Jamaica. And if you're calling from overseas, our numbers are 239-444-8161. Listeners, I'd like to begin this afternoon with the state of public emergency that has been declared by Prime Minister Andrew Holness in the St. Catherine North Police Division, with special focus, according to the security forces, on Spanish Town, Linstead, and Bogwalk, where there has been a spike of murders since the start of this year of 2018, totaling 48. Now, listeners, St. Andrew, according to the police, St. Andrew North, the St. Catherine North Division is home to the largest gang in Jamaica, the Klansman Gang, which historically has been aligned to the opposition People's National Party. Now, listeners, we know that especially for the bus park in Linstead, there has been a spate of shootings and a few murders, because according to police intelligence, the Klansman Gang controls the extortion racket originating or coming from the Linstead bus park. And, you know, listeners, when the state state allows vacuums to exist, then the vacuum must be filled. And when it is that we allow dons, because of, in most times, political expediency, politicians, you want to ensure that the dons control a certain era, and by you controlling the dons, they control the era, and then by extension, you have a steady supply of votes, right? And when you allow this to happen, this is what will happen, because after a while, the politicians cannot afford to feed the insatiable appetite of these dons and their various enforcers. So they now have to find another stream of source of income. So they turn to scamming, they turn to drug running, they turn to extortion, right? And it really is a sad case, state of affairs in Jamaica, when a lot of our young men, the choices that they make is that they are either aligned to a gang, or they're in scamming, or they're loader men. We have lost, to my mind, a generation of potential leaders in both the public and private sectors, fathers, husbands. Because in a lot of ways, I don't want to use the word marginalized, because I don't think that but certainly I think that a comprehensive and targeted approach must be taken in the path that a lot of our young men have chosen to take, because for a lot of reasons, a lot of socio-psychological reasons, it is a choice. When you grow up in the ghetto, in the inner city, then if you don't have a gun, or you don't want, like, you're rough and you're tough, you don't have nothing to prove. You're soft, and you have to prove that, you know, that you're tough and you can defend it. And the quickest way to show your power, or the only way in a lot of ways in the inner city, is through the acquisition of a gun. Right, in the middle class, or even in some households in inner city communities, it is recognized that the only way not the only way, but the most effective in my mind way is via education. So what happens is that you know, there's an emphasis on education there. But moves continuing on the issue of crime, because I don't want to lose the thought. Certainly this to my mind is long overdue, but there are lots of other places in Jamaica or hotspots in Jamaica that would warrant a public state of emergency. And unfortunately, listeners, this is where we are. You know, this is Jamaica, and it has been like this for many, many years. We are trying to get a handle on the crime, monster. And it will be a mixture of different policies, both hard policing, but also intelligence driven. Also, a lot of social intervention programs. But this crime monster has been with us for a long time. And to my mind, it is going to take, as they would say, it's going to take a minute, you know, for us to get to where we want to. So still on matters of crime, listeners, according to police statistics, since January 2017, the JCF has seized 1,035 illegal guns and 24,237 rounds of ammunition. Allegations are that illegal gun shops are operating in St. James and Manchester, and that most of the guns enter Jamaica through the ports. Now, first of all, listeners, these allegations we have been hearing for years. So if I've been hearing this, right, for years, why is it that since you know of these illegal gun shops and you have intelligence, JCF, explain to me why you don't have some officers going undercover to purchase the guns and build a case against these shops who are selling illegal guns and ammunitions, and then charge them and make sure that the full weight of the law is brought to bear on them. Just saying that allegations, it's not enough. And this is what, you know, this is one of the weaknesses of the JCF. And certainly I hope that the new police commissioner, Anthony Anderson, former advisor, national security advisor, who was appointed to take up office tomorrow, a police commissioner of the Jamaica Constabulary Force, I am hoping that his focus will be on intelligence. Because to my mind, listeners, if intelligence is the focus of the JCF, then all other things will fall in place. And I just want you to bear with me a little and see what I'm trying to say. First of all, I am talking about even corruption within the JCF and the wider society. If a focus is on intelligence, then when you gather the evidence and done in a way that ensures that no rights are breached and ensure that it can stand up to scrutiny by vigorous defense cross-examination, right? Then I put it to you, listeners, that a lot of the corruption that we see in the JCF will significantly decline. Because if I know that when a member of the Jamaica Constabulary Force investigates or does a thorough, or do members of the Constable Force do a thorough investigation, right? And it is put to test, and I'm arrested and charged based on the evidence. In most cases, I know that the evidence is so strong because of the reputation that they have now garnered for intelligence gathering, that I'm here to tell you that a lot of people will think twice before trying to try and circumvent the normal channels and try and pay a man for get a money from motorists for speeding or sell guns, among other corrupt acts that the JCF has been noted for, or members of the JCF have been charged for. So I hope that the new commissioner, Anthony Anderson, who is coming from the Jamaica Defense Force will have a focus on intelligence gathering. But I also hope, because my understanding is that he was brought in to reform the force. That's my understanding, and I'm hoping that it would appear that he would have the backing of the government, since he was the former national security advisor, right? But continuing with the fact that we have illegal gun shops across Jamaica, or in some parishes in Jamaica, and that the allegations are that they're coming through the ports, or as we call it, the wharf. We have to do a better job, listeners, of protecting our borders and protecting our ports. We have to invest in more metal detectors. We have to go down hard on whoever it is that is letting these guns into the island. If it is that they're members of customs who are corrupt or complicit in the execution of their duties, then they must be brought to book. The most effective deterrent for crime, for any act of criminality or crime, is enforcement. So you find out who did what they did, you lock them up, and you follow through. So it can't be, listeners, that we have guns just coming through the ports. Who shipped them down? Who received them? Who let them through? So we need to find out supplier, middleman, and consumer. Find those three. Cut them off, or even one. We can't depend on the U.S. to cut off the supply. Several prime ministers have asked, for the U.S. to, and I won't even talk about the latest school shooting, honestly. And it's not to be insensitive, but America is a country. They must decide the kind of country that they want to live in. In Jamaica, it is up to us. If it is that we can't do anything with people, with the supply, then we need to cut it off before it can enter Jamaica. Right? That is what we have to do. We have to cut it off. Cut it off, find out, and then find out who are these people who are receiving it. If it is that we can't pinpoint the senders. Now, according to the same report, listeners, you can get a brand new gun for $250,000. So that's $250,000 Jamaican dollars. A rifle, anywhere between $650,000 to $750,000. And if you want to rent a gun, you can rent a gun for up to $70,000 per night. My thing is, explain to me a lot of the shutter them where you see. How them can afford to buy a brand new gun for $250,000? Where they get the money from? And other than the lotto scamming, because we know that Montego Bay is awash with money from the lotto scamming. But a youth from, say, Hannatown or in Clarendon or its parts of St. Thomas, right? But then, listeners, you know what? You see, the gun rental narrative, it is supported, in my view, by the National Security Minister, Robert Montague, where he stated that five illegal guns are involved in 92 shooting incidents. Five that occurred that accounted for a number of murders. So five guns in a listeners are involved in 92 shootings. So it would support the narrative then that people are rent a gun for do a work, and then when them collect them food, then them thing they remember what eat and collect, smoke and forget. No, kill and collect, smoke and forget. Kill and collect, smoke and forget. Right? So it does support that narrative. Minister Montague was speaking at the launch of the national CCD system on So what Jamaica Eye is really is a national closed circuit television CCTV system that will assist in fighting crime, right? As a matter of fact, listeners, as part of the government of Jamaica's crime plan, according to the security minister, they launched what is called Jamaica Eye, which is an initiative. It's a policy directive from the National Security Minister, Robert Montague, and I must commend him for this because I have been speaking ad nauseum on this station, The Advocate, on OneRadio.link, but in other mediums, certainly, about the fact that we need to have a CCTV system. So the Jamaica Eye program involves the creation, listeners, of a national closed circuit television CCTV system that will assist in the fight against crime, public safety, as well as national disaster responses. In this, by with this system, Jamaica has joined other countries like the United Kingdom, France, and China in building out a national CCTV system. The concept, listeners, is that the program will use cameras installed by the government as well as CCTV feeds from private individuals once they have a digital camera covering public spaces. That's very important. And while I'm saying this, I'm hoping that the legislative framework will be in play. So, what I want to say, listeners, is that if a crime is committed, the person if it is that it is a if the feed comes from private individuals, they can't say no, we're not going to give you. It should be concretized by legislation. That is my own view, right? So that a private individual can't say, you know what, I'm not going to share it coming. I want nobody to talk about how me an informer or whatever. And secondly, it is important to note that it is these cameras once they're installed covering public spaces. So if it is in your private homes, then clearly you wouldn't be feeding it into the national system, right? It's only for private public spaces. And I wanted to make a point because of a question that someone had asked. Now, according to National Security Minister Robert Montague, he says that the ministry has already implemented cameras in public spaces in Kingston, Montego Bay, Clarendon, and Negril, and that all of these will be connected via network and will have a single control center, and there will be five monitoring centers. I think one is at the JCF and one is at Upper Camp at the JCF, and one is at the Police Commissioner's Office, if memory serves me correctly. According to Montague, the program has so far cost the ministry $181 million, but the bang we have gotten for that buck is immeasurable. I agree with you, National Security Minister. I cannot overemphasize how important it is for us to cover Jamaica as much as possible with the Jamaica Eye. It is important that we use technology as much as possible to fight crime. It is vital, right? I just want to still on crime. Listeners, I want to, because I haven't spoken about crime in a little while, which is good, but still on crime, I note that the Ministry of National Security has acquired what is called iDetect technology system. So what it is it's a form of iDetect technology for recruiting of applicants for the JCF, the Jamaica Constabulary Force, the Jamaica Defence Force, the Department of Correctional Services, the DCS, immigration officers, and other security officials. So what this technology does, listeners, and this is where we are going, and that is why I keep saying the technology is there. Invest in it. Invest in it. I don't want to lose the point, but just to say to you, you know how some of we're unethical and we're not and we're dishonest, right? So you know, especially in the pub. Well, let me be. We are not as efficient and we are not as wedded to time management and productivity in the public sector as we are in the private sector. And certainly, talking about the private sector, I know of a couple of companies that when you sign in to say that you're at work, is your fingerprint you use. So, you know, back in the day, you could have called your friend and, you know, like my producer, Sanjay, and would have said, Sanjay, you know, may I run late enough for working at one radio.link? Do me a favor. Just sign in for me. May I come with a hairdresser? Yes. Oh, yes. So Sanjay would sign in for me. I saunter in whenever my hair is done and give one radio.link what? Instead of giving them their 80 hours of productivity, them lucky if them get 5. But I know of certain organizations in the private sector where when you sign in is your fingerprint. Remember, we all have unique fingerprints, I think, unless we're twins, identical twins. I want it to be transferred to the public sector. When you're signing in for work, it reflects. Before you leave to go on the road, you have to sign out. And when you come back in, you have to sign in. And that's where the technology is, because what it does is it tracks how many hours you really give your employer. And it ties into productivity, which has been falling in Jamaica since the 1980s. And which is why when people say, why the economy is not growing, how in God's green name the economy for grow if our productivity keeps going down? There's a correlation. You know, listeners, but I don't want to lose the point because this is very important. Again, the technology that I'm talking about, the iDetect technology system, is intended to improve the efficiency of the vetting processes, particularly for applicants who wish to join the security forces. It says currently certified examiners who will utilize this system will commence training next week. That is this week coming. iDetect is an alternative technology system for deception detection. The system will be used for mass screening of personnel to complement in-depth polygraph examinations. I'm absolutely thrilled with the direction that this minister is going in. He was a shaky for me, but it looks like he's on firm footing and he's going in the direction that I'm applauding. We have a new police commissioner that I believe will bring a certain level of accountability, efficiency, transparency, and motivation to the men, the hardworking and men and women on the ground of the JCF, to the Jamaica Constabulary Force. And I see where the minister is pushing technology in the fight against crime and corruption in Jamaica. I applaud these moves, these initiatives. I think that at the end of the day, all Jamaica will benefit from this, right? It will also be used to pre-screen job candidates and conduct periodic evaluation of current employees within the national security architecture. Yes, 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 yes. According to the minister, the iDetect pilot project is a very historic moment for us at the ministry. It is a game changer. I agree. This system will allow for a more specific approach in the screening of candidates, and this will ensure that we are producing the best candidates to join the security architecture, he said. I agree. Listen to this. The test is also completely automated and will measure participation in theft, fraud, money laundering, bribes, drug use, identity theft, violent crimes, and receipt of inappropriate benefits at the workplace. And according to the minister, this initiative forms part of the ministry's 5-pillar crime reduction strategy with emphasis on effective policing. Yes, yes, yes. I agree And just one final note before I come off the whole crime thing. I make note of the opening of a police station in Green Acres is in St. Catherine. Yes. So he broke ground actually for also for one in St. Mary, the capital, in the St. Mary, one in St. Mary, one in Green Acres, and one in Buff Bay. So what is that? That's three police stations. I just want to make sure that they have cameras installed and that when they're being built, is given to water harvesting in terms of rainwater harvesting for efficiencies as well as solar panels to bring down the cost of the electricity bill for the taxpayers of Jamaica. So I applaud these three new police stations that are coming on stream. But I will also say, listeners, that I want to make sure, I ask that the best practices in terms of building are put in place, right? I think I have covered crime. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about the ruling in Indicom that was handed down from the Jamaica Court of Appeal, and I would like to touch a little bit of politics in terms of the fact that the director for elections, Orrit Fisher, has resigned. And I also want to just have a little, I want to link the JTA sick out. They say it's not a protest, but I think our labor laws would say otherwise. And I also want to talk about Peter Phillips' suggestion to use NHT funds to assist with squatting. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to The Advocate with Andrew D. White on OneRadio.link.
Jamaica love, Jamaica, Jamaica love. We want to see Jamaica love.
If style is what you need, all the latest male clothes come to Trademark and you see high-end fashion guaranteed. The rules, they don't apply. When you're swagging, don't be shy. We've got all you need and more. Trademark Outfitters.
Located at 11 South Avenue, Kingston 10. Call them at 649-0417.
Say I no be practice fi eat parrot fish, cause of them clean the coral reef there. Jamaica little the safety parrot fish, cause of them bring the sand from we beach them. Yeah. Oh, whether you are the buyer, seller or the fisherman, say you can help save our island. Do not bring no parrot fish, come as dry land. Fisherman, put away your hook and your nylon. Make we stop try erode the soil of safety parrot fish.
Brought to you by Sandals Resorts, the Jamaica Observer, and Rainforest Seafoods.
Star Team International, with three locations island-wide, is the place to see for quality car care service. Whether for washing, servicing, tire sales, and more, take your vehicle to Star Team International for the very best service at the most affordable prices. We're located at 1A Caledonia Avenue, Kingston 5, Lot 3, Clarendon Park, Clarendon, and Lot 4, Vista Del Mar, Drax Hall, Odoria, St. Anne. If you're in Kingston and need to access our services, then drive on over and stop by our GV restaurant and enjoy the very best in local cuisine while you wait. Treat your taste buds to delectable meals and refreshing beverages that will keep you coming back for more. Whether for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, make it GV Restaurant, located at 1A Caledonia Avenue, Kingston 5. Check out our bar at each of our three locations and make it your chill spot. That's Star Team International, with three locations in Kingston, Otrias, and Clarendon, and GV Restaurant at our Kingston location. Star Team International and GV Restaurant. Visit us today. For all your signs, tinting, printing, and graphic needs, visit Advanced Signs and More. They're located at 11 Lewis Street, Savannah Lamar, Westmoreland. Call them today at 918-0945 or 381-1960. Email advanced.signs@hotmail.com. Advanced style, advanced look, advanced quality, advanced signs. The time brought to you by Advanced Signs is...
It's 7:30. I beg your pardon, it's 6:30.
Me love Jamaica, me not sell out. Them try clip we wings, somehow we can't fly out. But when we there, yeah, nothing nice like Jamaica. Rosemary, fruit and banana.
Welcome back to The Advocate on OneRadio.link. This is your host, Andrea D. White. And before we went for the break, listeners, we were talking about crime. And I wanted to talk about the ruling on Friday. It came in Friday afternoon from the Court of Appeal, the Jamaica Court of Appeal, where, according to an appeal court ruling, the Independent Commission of Investigations, INDICOM, does not have the power to arrest and charge cops. And what it did, actually, because I was going watching the Senate, I was observing as the senators were debating the major organized crime and anti-corruption agency MoCA bill in the Senate. And it actually forces the suspension of the debate on the bill because of the INDICOM ruling by the Court of Appeal. Again, listeners, the INDICOM ruling, the Court of Appeal is saying that INDICOM does not have the power to arrest and charge cops. So what the Senate did was to suspend the debate to study whether the court ruling has any implications for the MoCA bill. So, according to, in a 2-1 decision, the Court of Appeals said INDICOM has no power under Section 20 of the INDICOM Act to arrest and prosecute cops. Right? However, the court said that INDICOM officers as private citizens could effect these arrests and prosecution under the common law. Now, this caused a lot of confusion to some people, listeners. I personally don't think it does. So what happened is the INDICOM is a creation of Parliament, the highest decision-making body in the land, right? So when Prime Minister Bruce Golden when his administration was the one who ushered in the INDICOM Act, and INDICOM was... The idea or the policy behind INDICOM was to have an oversight body, because Jamaica historically has had a very high level of extrajudicial killings, right? So INDICOM was supposed to provide the necessary checks and balances and should investigate with impartiality. So their job is not to be on the side of the Jamaica Constabulary Force or on the side of the JCF or on the side of the alleged victim or his or her estate. Their job is to impartially investigate the facts and put them and let them lie where they may or go where they may. And that is the act. Now, common law, listeners, or under the common law, is basically judge-made law or judicial decision. So what they're saying is, what the court is saying is that Section 20 of the Act does not give INDICOM as a body the power to arrest and prosecute cops. Now, I'm going to read something, because the case was brought by the Jamaica Police Federation. And lead attorney, Jacqueline Samuels Brown, I don't know why she's not a QC yet, says while she's still absorbing, isn't she a QC? If she's not, she ought to be. I need to do further investigations, but I digress. Lead attorney Jacqueline Samuels Brown says while she's still absorbing the judgment, it will provide guidance to police personnel and INDICOM. She says the ruling confirms that, contrary to INDICOM's arguments, the INDICOM Act does not give the body powers of arrest and prosecution. However, listeners, INDICOM has a body, to my mind, if I remember correctly, has never stated that they have the powers of arrest and prosecution. Listen to what INDICOM Commissioner Terence Williams, who is an attorney at law, said. He's counting the ruling as a resounding victory for his organization. According to him, the ruling changes nothing, as Indicom has never made an arrest as a body. This is true. This is true. They never have made an arrest as a body. What the judgment of the court has done, it has confirmed what we have been saying for a long time and has strengthened our position, which is true. What he has said is that all arrests and prosecutions have been by individual officers of Indicom, using the same powers conferred on ordinary Jamaicans based on common law. This is what he has always said. This is my understanding of it. So I see where they're saying Indicom has been clipped, or some wings have been clipped, or as if they're rejoicing. First of all, listeners, we need effective oversight of the JCF. A police officer right now is on trial, is on a $3 million. I don't know if the bail was taken up. Bail. Because he was one of three men who was intercepted about 5 minutes after it's alleged he and two men in a car shot and killed a gentleman who operates a service carrying children to school in Grand Spence, St. Thomas, right at the school gate. A police officer. The Ushens gang, two members of the Jamaica Constabulary Force, are alleged members of the gang. Before the courts, one of the most damning allegations is that someone went to make a report to the police station where one of the alleged JCF members worked. And he went back and told of the gang, and the person who made the complaint to the police station was murdered. Right? We have several police officers right now in court for extrajudicial killings. So let us not fool ourselves. We need Indicom. Indicom is absolutely necessary to ensure that the necessary checks and balance are placed on the Jamaica Constabulary Force. Absolutely. And I will make no bones about it. I 100% support Indicom and the work that they're doing. Now, my understanding of Indicom is the same understanding that the Commissioner Terence Williams has said. All arrests and prosecutions, you know, are made by individual officers of Indicom. And so I personally don't understand what, I don't understand. I will also, for me, listeners, I think that the Parliament needs to look at the Indicom Act, especially Section 20. And decide whether it wants to expressly give the investigators powers to arrest, charge, and prosecute under the Act. My own view, listeners, my own considered opinion, and this is something that I've given a lot of thought to, my own opinion, listeners, is that the Indicom Act should be amended so that it expressly gives to the investigators and to the body, Indicom, the powers to arrest and to charge. Listen to me carefully. Let me repeat it. It is my considered opinion, listeners, that the Jamaican Parliament must revisit the Indicom Act, amend it with a view to expressly stating or giving the Indicom investigators and Indicom as a body powers of arrest, powers to arrest and charge members of our security forces. However, the power to prosecute must remain in the office of the Director of Public Prosecution. That is my considered opinion. I don't think. I think that the work of Indicom will continue. I don't see in my mind any great. I don't think that they have been restricted, because the arrests are originated via a warrant, or as a justice of the peace, I have signed warrants, or by summons, right? So I personally don't have an issue with it, you know. So I await. I know that the cabinet is to. I'm sorry, the cabinet is supposed to consider, right? to consider the ruling of the Court of Appeal. Remember, it's a 2-1 ruling. I was listening to, one final note, listeners, I was listening to Commissioner Terence Williams, and he had said, maybe for clarity, the ruling for the Court of Appeal could be visited by a higher authority, which if it is going through the court, it would be the Privy Council. But I would urge our Parliament to put a definitive or conclude this so that there are no ambiguities. I would urge them to do that. And also, listeners, I urge you to go onto www.courtofappealjamaica.com's website and read the ruling, especially the dissenting judgment. Remember, it's 2-1. So two of our justices agreed. Two of our justices agreed that that Section 22 does not give power under the Act, only common law, and one did not. So I urge you to read. I'm sorry. Listeners, I urge you to read the judgment. Moving on now, we were told that the Director of Elections, Orit Fisher, and this came through, I think, on Wednesday, has resigned. His resignation comes ahead of a court ruling where surrounding his tenure. If you remember, listeners, that Orit Fisher, he actually went to court to have his contract extended. Now, before I speak to the electoral office, and I just want to say something about contracts. A contract is an agreement between two parties. And basically, we have, there are certain things that you need in a contract. You need an offer, you need and the offer must be made in a certain way, and you need an acceptance, and the acceptance must mirror the offer. So if I say that I'm going to sell you my phone, my iPhone for $10, you can't say to me, I accept, I will buy your iPhone for $8. That's a counter offer. So they must mirror. You must have consideration. In this case, the consideration must be $10, and you must have an intention to create legal relations. No, you can't. When a contract comes to an end, remember, a contract is, in most cases, contracts are voluntary assumptions. In the majority of cases, it's a voluntary thing. When the contract, and most contracts have a shelf life, when the contract comes to an end, you can't then force me to continue to have a contract. Now, I say all of that, listeners, to make the point that the former director of the Electoral Office of Jamaica, Mr. Orit Fisher, was on a contract. His contract was extended, yes, but he still was on a contract. If it is that his employers, for whatever reason, remember, they don't have to give you a reason, you know. They don't, unless it is stated in the terms of the contract that they have to give you a reason. And I don't know why that would be in the contract. But even if it is, because people make up what they want in a contract, right? It cannot be that you are forcing the Electoral Office of Jamaica. You can't force them to keep you on as a director. You understand what I'm saying, listeners? If your contract comes to an end and they don't want to renew it, the truth is, unless there is something expressly in their contract, there's nothing that you can do. So Mr. Orit Fisher carried it to the Supreme Court. I think it is the Supreme Court. So it is going through. I don't know if what will happen to it. I don't know what will happen afterwards. But my own view is that I don't know how you can force somebody to contract with you, because that's what he's doing. Now, according to Mr. Fisher, there is continuing or deepening political interference at the Electoral Office of Jamaica. And these, to my mind, listeners, are damning allegations. because Jamaica has come a far way, listeners, from the bad old days when during election time, if you wear green or you wear orange in certain communities, gunshot may reach you. And I mean, this is not a joke. We're coming from a time, listeners, where your ballot boxes would be stolen. You go to a PD. That happened to me, and it's something to this day that burns me. Right, the first time that I decided to vote. Well, I became eligible to vote because, you know, you're an adult now, you're legally eligible to vote. And when I was told, away I go, you vote already. You understand what I'm saying? We have come a long way. And we don't want to go back to those days. We cannot go back to those days. Jamaica's democracy depends on it. So when I hear this, it causes a lot of concerns. However, an independent member of the Electoral Commission of Jamaica, whose name escapes me now, has said that there is no suggestion of any kind of political interference. Mr. Fisher has said that he, if the commissioner wants to make his resignation letter public, they're free to do so. He will make it public as soon as they have, I guess, made a statement, is what he said. My own view, though, is, listeners, is that, I mean, if it is that your contract is at an end, your contract is at an end. That is just my view. And I don't think going to the court is a waste of resources, to my mind. So it's like one radio.link say, okay, so the advocate, we want you on for a year. And after a year, they say, you know what? We're not going to renew your contract. I'm going to take them to a court to renew my contract? No, you know? So I await more and better particulars as this story develops. To see what happened. I just want to continue on a little on politics, because I wasn't able to have the show live last week, and I must apologize to our listeners. But I wanted to just briefly make a point about Northwest St. Andrew and the fact that the JLP's Dr. Nigel Harris emerged victorious. That wasn't a big surprise. What concerns me, listeners, is the low voter turnout. And even though it's a by-election and people say, sure, you know, it's a by-election and so people don't normally come out to vote and whatever. I think the highest the last time maybe was Shaheeni Robinson when she won in St. Anne. But listeners, excuse me, what will happen is if we become so turned off from the political process, what will happen is that both sides, both the JLP and the PNP, will win on the backs of which one of them have the larger base. And we can't have that, because we know that the base of both parties, how do I put this diplomatically? Well, it's not diplomatically. They vote along party lines. They don't vote. And I really wanted to go into the recent polls, the Don Anderson. But the truth is, listeners, and if it comes across as disrespectful, that's not the intent. However, I don't put too much stock in Don Anderson poll, honestly. I'm serious. I really don't. And at the same time, I've always said that a poll is just a snapshot of a moment in time. So I think that is why I wasn't too eager to discuss the findings of the poll. But back to my point, listeners, that we have to find a way to get to the middle, to get to those undecided, to get them to become more invested and involved in the political process. Because The base of the JLP will continue to vote JLP regardless of whatever policies the JLP puts on. And the base of the PNP will continue to vote PNP regardless of whatever policies they put on. Right? So,
well, hello?
Do I have someone on the line?
Hello? Good evening. Good evening.
Hello?
How are you doing?
Hi,
yes,
how are
good evening.
You
doing? Oh, I'm doing great. You must have wondered where I'm Sega, don't.
No, I know that you're a political animal or supporter, and I figured you were on political hustling.
Yes,
in the
I was busy
in Northwest
St.
Andrew.
Yes, I was busy on the ground for the past 3 weeks of campaigning.
Okay.
Yes,
so
and then I have
another
engagement
about?
Last week. Eh? Oh, what I want to talk about, as I was saying that Orange Fisher, you should have gone from last year, October the 30th, with the contract ending.
Right.
Yes, that's all I would say, and that for now.
Yes,
but,
I agree.
Yes, but Mark Golding, I was very, very disappointed. I expect better from Mark Golding. What
you
have come to the panel with?
I listened
yes,
to it.
What?
He was pandering to the base of the PNP, and he was also debating 2016-2017 budget. But go
gotcha.
Ahead.
I think his budget presentation was a phantom.
You thought it was a what?
Phantom.
Oh, phantom. Okay.
I mean, the gentleman, when Mark Golding raised the political representation politics, I was saying, wow, people like these,
mm-hmm.
most of people like these in politics, because I was expect better from him. I mean, seeing somebody like a Mark Golding, a Nigel Clark in politics, but Mark Golding really let me down. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday was his presentation, made his presentation in Parliament.
It might have been Tuesday.
I mean, the question that people need to put to the PNP, if they come to power tomorrow morning, if they would dismiss the 1.5 government.
No, you're joking, right? No, they would not.
Do you know how much people in this country have been benefited from the 1.5?
I do.
And
how
it make a boost to the economy.
Yes, I do. But listen, I think my own view is to say that for 18 years, and I'm talking about the last 18 years, the PNP
mm-hmm.
had an opportunity mm-hmm. to put Jamaica on a firm path,
mm-hmm.
both for our social and economic development,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
they squandered those 18 years. The Jamaica
mm-hmm.
Labour Party has been in power for 2 years.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
They just need to get a handle on crime and corruption,
mm-hmm.
and they also need to increase productivity. I think that once those three factors are taken into consideration and dealt with appropriately, Jamaica can easily, Horace, look on 5-6% growth per annum. Easily.
Yeah. Iban couldn't see People's National Party in power. And growing up,
mm-hmm.
I heard of people screaming, squealing, and talking about in the 1990s when the economy was destroyed by Dr. Omar Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's alleged now that Mr. Bunting and Mr. Golding was a part of a sweetheart deal. In I hope it's not true. I am waiting for the report, for the FinSAC
mm-hmm.
report.
Mm-hmm. Horace,
mm-hmm.
Horace, it is a matter of record that
mm-hmm.
Peter Bunting's company got a lot of government papers, as did other investment companies at the time. Was it that his was it that government papers were pushed to his company at a higher level than others? Well, then the FinSAC report will prove, will show. Is it that it will prove that a lot of us sitting in parliament going all sanctimonious and talking about black royalty and disrespecting the hard work of black people have built their wealth on the backs of small businesses in Jamaica and banks and a lot of people who lost their homes in in FinSAC, is it? Well, we await to the full report, Horace, and let the chips fall where they may.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Let it fall where it may.
Yes, I don't take a genius to be a banker buying government paper.
No, I said that. I've said it. How hard is it to push government paper to shuffle around some papers? How hard it is it? Please, you know. So, is there anything else you want to talk about, Horace? Because we only have 4 minutes to go.
No, I'll call and talk about Northwest. The Northwest election. And I have North Central Clarendon to talk about.
Northwest election, and that would be okay. Bobby Pickersgill has resigned. Robert Pickersgill has resigned. Right.
Yes, Northwest St. Catherine and North Central Clarendon.
And that's Colonel Charles. My investigation on the ground is that three names have emerged. Colonel Charles Jr. Who is the state minister in the Ministry of National Security and a senator. The director for communications in the office of the Prime Minister, Robert Nesta Morgan, and the counselor for the Moko division, Romain, I think his last name is
Morris.
What's his last
name? Romain Morris.
Yes, I think. Yeah, Morris. Yes. Is that your understanding?
Yes, I'm going to talk about that developing story next week.
All right. Thanks for tuning in to The Advocate. And we'll talk about it next week.
All right.
Okay. All right, listeners. As Horace, the last caller, was saying about North Central. Is it North Central? Clarendon. I was told that a poll was done and that... You know, the allegations, I have not seen the results of the poll. I await it, that the councillor has a very strong support among the delegates in the constituency. But we will see. Councillor Romain Morris, is it? We will see. I wanted listeners to talk about the opposition leaders, $10 billion proposing $10 billion. What? Of long-term uncollected refunds to be pulled from the coffers of the National Housing Trust to transform squatter communities across the island and address the question of land ownership for 700,000 Jamaicans living in informal settlements. Listeners, I will speak about it the next time we're here. I just want to say that I want to thank you for tuning in. Remember, you have a responsibility to yourself, but also to Jamaica. Thank you for tuning in to The Advocate on One Radio. And on behalf of our executive producer, Sanjay Lewis, until you hear my voice again, this is your advocate. One love, Jamaica love. Bless.
With a glass of lemonade, jumping on the river when me ready for bed. No boy can buy me out, me no foreign minded, no way compared to Jamaica. Jamaica love. We wanna feel Jamaica love.